Okay, Michelle's just going to come and do prayers for others now.
Some of you know I've had a granddaughter born in the last couple of weeks, and she was staying with us last night. And in the middle of the night, when I was feeding her, I was discussing with her the fruit of the Spirit at 3:30 in the morning. And the Lord really laid out in my heart that we would use that as the framework for our prayers for others this morning. And so I'll just remind us of that, and then if we can just all come together collectively as we just stand in the gap and pray for some of these things. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So let us pray. Father, we pray for love. Love into those homes and lives where there is bitterness and hate. Love into marriages which have gone cold and become indifferent. Love into families where there is strife and discord because of hurtful words, money battles, sibling rivalry or broken relationships. Father, we pray this morning for the healing of your love, the freedom of your love, and that the forgiveness of your love would be known and given by others to others in these situations. Bring restoration, we pray, O Lord. Father, your word says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we pray this morning for those who are struggling with ill health, who are dealing with changes to their bodies due to the challenges of aging, for those waiting for hospital appointments or surgery, and for those recovering from surgery. We pray particularly this morning for Christine Kernduff as she recovers from surgery this week after accident on holiday. May each and every one of these we remember this morning know your joy deep within their spirits and souls, giving strength to them day by day. Father, how your world needs your peace, and how we, your people, need to display your peace. Father, we stand in the gap and pray for the nations at war because of division over religious beliefs, claims to land, greed, corruption. And we ask that you would work in the hearts and minds of leaders, those with the power to make a difference, who can broker peace. We also pray for ourselves closer here at home, that in our province, where there continues to be divisions, particularly between our politicians, we pray that there would be a mindset of and a commitment to peace. Father, we pray for those in our Christian family here in Grey Abbey and in our community who are distressed, dealing with complex situations and who are grieving, that they will know your peace that passes all understanding. And today we particularly remember the Anderson family in their recent bereavement. May they know and experience a deep sense of your perfect peace in the days and weeks ahead. Father, we pray for carers who hourly, daily, weekly care for someone dependent on them. And so we pray for patience and endurance, strength and resilience in this role as a carer, and in the long-term responsibilities for another. We pray for parents of children with particular needs, that you will give them patience and tolerance when they're tired and overwhelmed. Help us as the family of God to be conscious of those around us who need support, help and care in these situations. Father, we thank you for those in aid agencies around the world who show kindness and mercy. Lord, you know the recent revelations of harm which has been carried out in some of these agencies. And so we pray that your justice would prevail, and that, Father, those that continue to serve in these agencies through acts of kindness, that you will refresh their purpose and hope, that they will not be disheartened and that their work will not be thwarted. Father, we pray for ourselves that we would be people of mercy and kindness, preferring the needs of others above our own. Help us every day to show your love through gentleness and kind deeds and words to all we meet. Father, we pray for a move of your Spirit in our lives and in our nation, that goodness and righteousness would be real and effective. As Brexit progresses and our laws will be changed in our land, may the legislators and decision makers ensure that it is a framework of goodness which is represented in how our society is required to live and behave. Help us to daily live well, to display your holiness and righteousness. May we be good citizens displaying you in all that we do. And Father, we pray for faithfulness in marriages within our church family and in our community. And we pray for faithfulness to our employers, working us on to you. Help us to be faithful in our giving financially, not to shortchange you, God, but ensuring that we honour our vows of giving to you. And help us to be faithful to you, Lord, to walk with you daily, feeding on your word, faithful in prayer. And help us to be people of commitment and endurance. And so, Father, for those we know who are struggling with addictions to alcohol, drugs, sexual activities, gambling, social media, food, and other temptations, we pray a realization and revelation that as they're caught in these traps of addiction, that they will seek help and support in breaking free, that you will give them restraint and self-control, heal their bodies and minds. And so, Father, we thank you that you've heard our prayers this morning. And more than this, you're already answering our prayers in your perfect will and timing. We give you praise that the fruit of your Spirit is made available to all of us as we surrender our lives and will to you daily. We ask all of this in the mighty, glorious, most powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to invite Alan to come up into the pulpit this morning. Alan's going to open God's word to us now. I think it's the first time Alan's done a double whammy. He's done it down in Clockie, and now he's opening God's word here. But maybe we just have a wee word of prayer, Alan, before we start. Father God, we just pray that your hand would be with Alan. We pray that your Spirit would move through him as he opens your word, Father God, that he would speak to each and every one of us here this morning, Father God, that we would know that we have met with you, Father God, in whatever your word has to say to us. So, Father, we just pray for your hand to be upon Alan now. May you speak through him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Norman. It's a bit of a day today. The day of firsts. There's always a first for something, isn't it? They say you should frighten yourself at least once a day. I'm truly frightened. I thought it would have been easier the second time, but I don't know. It doesn't get any easier. But we look to the Lord. I pray that God will have, through his word, something to say to all of us this morning. Certainly something to say to me this morning. And I'm sure you wondered about the scripture. It's usually a Christmas one, not an Easter scripture. But there is one verse that I just want us to look at. And it really is just to consider something this morning. And when I was asked to do this, that word just came into my heart and into my mind. And it was just to consider. I began to think about the Bible. Well, where is that word in the Bible? And I began to think of scriptures in the Bible where that word was. And verses that it was and what God was calling us to consider. Of course, one of the most famous ones, or one that's certainly one of my favorites, is Psalm 8 and verse 3. And the psalmist says, when I consider the heavens and the work of your hands, what is man that you are mindful of him? And you know, when you think about that, it is awesome, isn't it? When you look up, I know there's a lot of light pollution around different areas, but if you go out into a dark place and look up at the skies, it's amazing. when you can see the stars, you can see the galaxy, the Milky Way. And you think about some of those stars are actually galaxies. And you begin to wonder, why, oh God, do you care for me? But it's a good thing that he does. And I began to think carefully, as I said, about that. And there are other verses where God calls us to consider his work. And he says to Isaiah, he says in Isaiah 1 verse 3 to the people of Israel, my people do not consider. And he says there a very startling thing. He says, even an ox knows its master. Even an animal knows its master. But my people do not know me. They do not consider me. And what he was saying to Israel is, you do not consider my mercy, but neither do you consider my judgment. Because the nation was facing judgment at that time. So it's a good thing for us to consider. I'm sure we've all considered different things through our lives. At different points in our lives, we've had to sit down and consider and work things through and work things out so that we make the right decision. God in his word wants us to consider him, consider his works, consider his purpose, consider his plan. In other words, to come to an understanding of God's purposes and God's plan. Israel did not consider his mercy. Neither did they consider his judgment. They thought just because they would carry out the routine of their rituals and of their religion that everything was all right. But their hearts were far from God. And God wants us to consider. And I want to consider this morning just that little phrase that sometimes we overlook in that portion of scripture, verse 37, where the angel talking to Mary tells Mary that Elizabeth has just conceived. She who is barren has just conceived. And she bears a son. And he says, see, Mary, for nothing is impossible with God. And that word nothing should be interpreted word. We could interpret that by simply stating or saying this morning that no word of God shall fail. That's an awesome statement, isn't it? No word of God shall fail. And I want us to think about that this morning. And there's two aspects of it. There's two words in the Greek, and I'm going to get all learned this morning to you. But I don't want to get complicated into it. But there's two words. It's logos and rhema. And God says these two words will never fail. And the logos, first of all, and simply means the Word of God. It means the Bible in its entirety. It means that this book is complete. It means logos means the completed word. It's complete. There's no more revelation to come. So if you're looking for more revelation this morning, something from God, it's all in this book. And if you ever hear someone claiming that they have greater revelation than this book, or more revelation, or extended revelation than this book, don't believe them. This is God's completed written revelation to us. This is God's logos to us. His written logos, his revealed will, I like to call it, for my own life. If I'm searching for something, if I'm looking for guidance, then this is it. I can remember years ago learning a phrase, and I think I've shared it before here, and I don't know where I got it from, but I've always remembered it, and it's simply this: the Bible is the sole source of your faith, the absolute rule of conduct for your life. The absolute. It's not subjective, it's absolute. The Bible is an absolute truth. The Word of God is absolute. You can trust it. There's not many things in this world today that we can trust, is there? There's not many things that we can depend upon today to trust, but we can trust the Bible because it is God's word to us. I like to think of it as my Father's letter, and I say that reverently. It's my Father's letter to his Son. And I'm a son through faith in Jesus Christ. So it is the Word of God, the Logos of God today. Of course, Jesus was known as the Word also. Jesus was known as the Logos of God. He is the living Logos. This is the written Logos. He is the living Word. John tells us that in John 1 and 1 to 3, the first three verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was God, and the Logos was with God. He goes on to tell us that without him, without the Word, without the Logos, nothing was made that was made. When you read the words in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, "Let there be light," it was the Word, the Logos of God speaking, the Word. And instantly, there was no delay in anything. Instantly, when he spoke that word, there was light. The elements obeyed him. There was no question. There was no delay. Instantly, the word, God's word went forth. There was light. We see it all through creation. And God said, and God said. And then what does it say here in John's, what does it say in John's gospel? In the beginning. In the beginning. What does it say in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1? In the beginning, God created. John 1, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And I want to say something to you this morning. That Jesus came into this world, as John tells us, I love that in John 1 and 14, verse 14 of chapter 1. And the Word, the Logos, became flesh and tabernacled among us. Why did he come into this world? He came into the world, verse 18, I think it is, of that same chapter, that Jesus came into the world, the Word came into the world to declare the Father to us. He has revealed him and brought him out where he can be seen. Isn't that amazing? He came to reveal the Father. He came to make him known to us. Because the religion of that day, even the Jewish religion, had a warped view of the Father. They had lost the truth. The true Father. Jesus came into the world to reveal the true Father. His mercy. His love. His compassion. His judgment. In John 14, verse 8, Philip said, cause us to see the Father. And that is all we ask. Jesus replied, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Have I been so long with you, Philip, that you have not known that I am in the Father in me? Jesus, he goes on to say, the words that I speak are not my words. Throughout John's gospel, you will always read that. He says, the words that I speak are not my words, they are the Father's. The works that I do, the miracles that I do are not my works, they're the Father's. Everything I do is from the Father. I do nothing of myself. And that reminds us that Jesus completely aligned his life and his will with the Father's will. He aligned his life and will with the Father's word. He did nothing except the Father told him. And it indicates to us the total obedience to the Father's word and commandments that Jesus had. He didn't come into this world to do his own thing. He didn't come into this world to promote himself, but he came into this world to do the will of the Father. He is the Logos living. And we are to do the same. I could finish it there. Maybe I should. It's enough to know that, isn't it, this morning? I am going to finish it there. Sorry for the short sermon. But I'm going to finish it there. I feel I should. We are to align ourselves with his word. But the Logos, that written word, it reveals us who we truly are. Reveals us warts and all. That's the wonderful thing about God. He's not shocked by anything we do, anything we say. He's not shocked by who we are. We are to align ourselves with his word. You can look into that for yourself. Look the scriptures up. Look up the Logos and the Rhema. For neither Logos nor Rhema word will ever fail. The Rhema, Ephesians 6, verse 17, let that be your starting point. The Rhema word is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It is the word that is quickened. It is the word that leaps from a page. It is the word that comes maybe in a sermon when you think, is he talking about me? How does he know those things? When someone shares a word for your situation, that is a rhema word. God says to you this morning, that word will never fail. Stand upon it. Use it. The sword of the Spirit. Meditate upon that verse. Taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That sword for offensive use. To use the word of God. When the enemy is attacking, to use the word of God, you'll find it in Matthew chapter 4 where Jesus uses the Rhema word. 4 times when Satan tempted him after he was in the desert, 40 days and 40 nights. Then he was tempted. The first thing he says when Satan tempts him and asks him, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. What did he say? For it is written. He didn't start hurling accusations against Satan. He simply said, "For it is written." When the enemy's attacking, don't start calling them names, and that'll do nothing. Stand upon the word. Say, "It is written. For it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Every rhema, every inspirational word. Has God given you a promise? Maybe like Zechariah, you've forgotten. Read that story. Allow the Spirit to minister to you. Maybe like Zechariah, you've forgotten about that word, that prayer that you prayed. Maybe it's been a long time since you've received that promise. Maybe you're beginning to doubt, like Nicodemus, Zechariah, whenever the angel said to him, "Your wife is going to get pregnant." He says, "Hey, what are you talking about?" This is my interpretation, by the way. "What are you talking about? I'm too old. And my wife's too old." Have you a promise? God says that word will never fail. Have you a promise for a situation? That situation is still ongoing. That situation's never been resolved. God says that promise will never fail. My word will never fail. This Bible will never fail. The Scriptures will never fail. Stand upon it. Learn to stand upon it. Take up the word of God. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The rhema, just in closing, the rhema is always from the Logos. Not outside it. If someone gives you a word and that doesn't agree with the word of God, it's not from God. The rhema always comes from the Logos, because that's where the Rhema word gets its authority. In the complete word of God. That inspirational word gets its authority from this book. And every scripture, every piece of this book is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Every scripture is God-breathed. Doesn't contain the word of God. It is the word of God. The picture there is of a sailing ship. And the wind blowing into the sails of that sailing ship and driving that ship where it would go. And that's the picture as men sat down, as Paul sat down, as Peter sat down, as others who wrote the scriptures sat down to write. The Holy Spirit breathed upon them. They didn't become robots. The Holy Spirit inspired them. And he moved them by his breath. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God. The Hebrew word for Holy Spirit is ruach, the breath of God. And it can be a gentle breath. It can be a strong wind. It can be a violent wind. The word of God. I want you to think about it. The word of God will never fail. I'll leave you with this that I learned also, and I can't remember where I learned it from, but the word of God, that rhema word, that power, that word that leaps from the page, that word that is a promise from God, that the Holy Spirit drops into your heart or into your soul or into your mind, that word of God has power within itself to bring about its own fulfillment. His word has power. His word has power It's living, it's active. The Logos Word is living, it's active. The Word of God has power within itself to bring about its own fulfillment. That's how powerful His Word is. You can declare it into situations. You can declare it into our over situations. You can stand upon it because His Word never fails. Father, You have said Your Word has never failed, will never fail. The week that lies ahead, I ask you to do that. Look at this verse, Luke 1, verse 37. Meditate upon it. Ask the Lord for yourself. Show me, Lord, what this means for my life. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister into your life as you meditate upon it. And may God bless you. And may God bless His Word to you this morning. In Jesus' name.